Blind Geek Zone podcast number 20 for November 23rd, 2007. Hey, this is Rick, and I'm back. I must apologize for being gone so long. It's been almost a month now since I've recorded my last podcast, and I do apologize for that. I've been really busy with my work. As I said last month, I'm working downtown at the local blind center, and that's been keeping me pretty busy, so unfortunately it's not given me a lot of time to work on things here at home, like the website and my podcasts. So I wanted to take some time today and update everybody here as to what's going on with me, and wanted to talk about several different things today, so thought it would be a good time, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody in the United States that celebrated Thanksgiving yesterday had a great day, and everything was great here. Had family over and had turkey and all the goodies, so was a great day. And I hope all of you out there enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving as well, too. Okay, let's see. First, Jaws 9.0 final release was released on Monday, November 19th to the public. So, Jaws 9 is now official. Freedom Scientific said that SMA CDs will ship on Wednesday, November 21st. So everybody should start seeing those next week at some point, I would assume. And if you want to download it, and there's no reason that you can't do that as well, you can download it from the Freedom Scientific website. And if you were a Jaws 9 beta user, you can simply go into Jaws and check for updates there. And the final will download. It's 9.0.515, I believe. So there are all the ways that you can get that. My first thoughts on the release are, overall, it is very stable, very quick, very responsive on the XP side and the Vista side. The only thing I've noticed so far that's kind of been nerve-wracking to me is on the Vista side especially. Some people have reported it on the XP side, although Freedom Scientific states that the XP side isn't affected, but Freedom Scientific sped up Eloquence on Vista, and it is much, much faster now than it was on Jaws 8.0. And that in itself is an excellent thing. It's very, very responsive, especially on my machine. In ways it might even be faster than the XP machine, but it's also a faster machine, so may not be a fair comparison. But the problem I did notice, and this is being reported by some to be happening and by others to not be happening, but when you're arrowing around, cursoring around, going up and down through lists, tabbing, whatever, you know, arrowing through a website, pressing your navigation shortcuts, things like that, you'll tend to hear a lot of popping, clicking, crackling like noises right at the beginning as you press the key press. And on my machine, it's very, very, very noticeable, and I was really, really irritated about it. And and it actually started occurring on the Jaws 9.0 467 beta build, and I reported it to FS, and pretty quickly got responses back that they were aware of the problem and that they were working on it, but it wasn't really a big deal because the performance gains outweighed the popping and crackling, in their opinion, and probably on their machines. They may have not heard it very much. I've noticed it on some machines less than others, and some machines greatly. Now, this isn't going to bother a lot of people. I kind of threw a fit about it, but I've noticed a lot of other people just simply really didn't care a whole lot. It didn't seem to bother them. My biggest complaint about it is I'm just really picky as to what I hear. My ears are very sensitive, and I pick things up very, very easily. And the noise is just irritating to me, especially sitting there using it all day. It's just very, very irritating. And others won't even notice it. So I guess that's just one of those things. We'll all have to decide what we think about it. But depending on what sound card you use, you may or may not even notice the problem. I switched over from my Creative Odyssey SE card to the Realtek high definition audio that's on board my Gigabyte motherboard, and the crackling and popping didn't go away, but it was a lot less. So I guess for now, just have to live with it. There is a way to revert back to the JAWS 8.0 Eloquence. There's a tech bulletin out on the website at Freedom Scientific. Basically, it involves, if you have an 8.0, you can go into programs, Freedom Scientific, JAWS, and then version 8. You can go into drivers, then speech, and then find the ELOC folder. You can copy the ELOC.jls file out of there. You can then go over to the JAWS 9.0 and go in through program files, and then JAWS or Freedom Scientific, then JAWS, then 9.0, then drivers, then speech. Find the ELOC and replace the ELOC.jls file in there. You will have to make sure you're not running JAWS at that time, or you'll get a file in use error. So, but what that will do is it will, on the Vista side especially, we'll take it back to the Eloquence 8.0 version, that was being used in JAWS 8.0. And you won't get the performance that you're getting now, but you also won't get the popping and clicking. So, that's an individual choice. I did try it. I did still hear some popping and clicking, actually, so, I'm not real sure, but. And then one of my biggest complaints is, if I'm trying to record Vista tutorials, the popping and clicking is going to be heard, and in my opinion, it just kind of makes for a less than professional recording, but there's not a whole lot that I can do about that at this point, I guess, because actually on the Vista side, there are a lot more issues at recording than just that. So, but I'll leave that for another time. Other than that, I've not noticed any problems with it as best I can tell. It's working very good, so hopefully everybody else will have great experiences with JAWS 9 as well. Okay, another thing from Freedom Scientific is Eugene Baroni posted a message the other day on the Blind Vista list, and I guess he had contacted Freedom Scientific about the new Adaware. As many of you may or may not know, there is a new version of Adaware out called Adaware 2007. It replaces the old Adaware 1.06 that we've been using for quite a while now. And as you know, 1.06 was very accessible with scripts, and there were third-party scripts written for Adaware that, made it very, very easy to use. Although you could use Adaware successfully without scripts, it took just tons and tons of JAWS cursoring, but you could do it. The problem is, from what I've heard, and I've not tried it, but Adaware 2007 apparently isn't accessible at all. Even with JAWS cursoring, you just cannot get it to work. And currently, there are no third-party scripts for the program. And a lot of us out there use Adaware daily in conjunction with other spyware removal tools, to keep our systems clean. Adaware, in my opinion, is a very important and a very necessary part of that process. There are a lot of other programs out there that do the same thing, but I like Adaware myself, and I tend to use it in conjunction with Spybot Search and Destroy, and sometimes with Defender as well. But there's no support for it. It's not accessible. There's no scripts for it. So Eugene wrote Freedom Scientific, or contacted Freedom Scientific, and Freedom Scientific basically said, "Well, that's interesting. And if enough of you write us and tell us that you want support for Adaware 2007, then maybe we'll see about writing scripts for it. And that would be great." So all of you out there that are interested in having support for Adaware 2007, I would suggest that you write Freedom Scientific. And the address they gave was suggestions@freedomscientific.com. So if you write them there, then hopefully, tell them that you want support for Adaware 2007, and hopefully at some point in the near future, some kind of scripts will come about for that. Okay, let's see. Next, I wanted to talk briefly about my Skype. As you know, a lot of you have me as contacts on Skype, and I use Skype a lot for talking to people, doing training especially. And I just wanted to make a general comment and a request. There are a lot of you out there that don't pay attention to Skype status, whether it's away or not available or online or whatever, or you don't pay attention to, the mood text. Like most of the time mine says www.blind-geek-zone.net for my mood text. But a lot of times I'll, also when I'm training, I'll say, training, do not disturb, or I'll have my status set to away or not available. And unfortunately, what is happening, and this is a problem for me when I'm training, because I don't want to be disturbed. A lot of people will call me, try to call me regardless of my status. And I'm kind of requesting that if you don't see me, being listed as online, that you at least try and ask me if it's okay to call before you call. If you can send me an email or something, I'll be more than happy to set up a time to talk to you for whatever reason, just to chit chat, or for, if you got a question or whatever. I don't have a problem with that. That's what my Skype is there for. But unfortunately, there's a lot of you out there that just plain and simply ignore my status. And I've kind of requested before, that if you see my status is away, or my mood text says I'm training, and not to disturb me, that means don't disturb me. And a lot of you are worse than telemarketers. You just don't give up. You call over and over and over. And one, it's very rude. Two, it's annoying to me and the person I'm trying to train. And, I just really would request that people try to have a little bit better etiquette, with the Skype calls. And what I'm going to start doing, since I've announced this now, I give everybody a little while, but, if you persist in bothering me, especially when my mood text says I'm training, what I will have to do is I'll have to start blocking certain individuals that keep persisting at doing this. I appreciate you trying to get a hold of me, and I do want to talk to people on Skype. I don't have a problem with that, but a lot of times I'm just simply busy. I don't have a lot of free time sometimes. I'm either at work or I'm working with somebody here. I have several people I train on a weekly basis and, on a regular basis weekly. So, I just would ask that everybody just if you want to talk to me and you don't see me online or whatever, just, send me an email or something and just, let me know you want to talk to me and, we'll set up a time. Okay, let's see. I think what I'm going to do next is the remainder of the things I want to show you are a couple of Vista tips. So I'm going to go over to the Vista machine. I'm going to do some recording and I'll edit it back into this recording on the XP side. What I'm going to show you in Vista, number one, is I'm going to show you how to enable disabled audio devices for playback and recording. Vista apparently disables certain inputs and outputs on your computer just by default for whatever reason. And most people have no clue on how to get these enabled. Mae McDonald on the Blind Vista list gave some instructions last week, and those were very helpful. They helped me out quite a bit. And I'm going to give a demonstration on how to do that. Okay, I'm over here on the Vista side now, and I'm going to show you a couple of different things, as I said. So first, I'm going to show you how to enable disabled audio devices. So we go to start.
Folder view, list view, break 1 of 20, context menu, default programs, D.
And by the way, I'm using classic menus here on my Vista machine. If you're using your Vista style menus, you can just simply go to your search that's going to come up automatically as soon as you hit start. Type in control, hit enter, you should be on the control panel.
Default programs. S control panel C.
I'm going to do it the way most of the XP people are familiar with it.
Enter. Leaving menus. Control panel. Folder view. List view.
0 items not selected.
Add hardware.
And on this side as well, in control panel, I'm in the classic view. So I'm just simply going to type
S-O sound.
and go to sound.
Enter. Sound dialog. Playback page. List view. Not selected. RT speakers.
1 of 4.
And as on the XP side, this is a multi-tabbed dialog box, so we're going to control tab to the recording tab.
Recording page. Select the recording device below to modify its settings, colon. List view. Not selected. USB microphone.
1 of 10.
Now, mine here right now are all enabled. So you're going to see everything, but what you would do is go on this list.
RT microphone. USB microphone.
And you hit your application key.
Applications. Context menu. Configure speech recognition. Dot dot dot.
S.
Properties. Dot dot dot.
P.
Show disconnected devices checked. Show disabled devices checked.
And where it says show disabled devices, you'll want to check that. By default, yours will be unchecked. If I uncheck this,
Enter. Leaving menus. List view. USB microphone.
1 of 8.
Home. RT microphone. USB microphone.
And you notice two things went away.
USB microphone 1 of 8. RT microphone. RT line in. Realtek digital input. RT stereo mix. SB microphone. SB line dash in. SBS slash PDIF dash in.
And I'm not sure exactly what disappeared. I've got two different sound cards on here. I have a Sound Blaster Audigy SE, and I have a Realtek high definition audio. But again, I'm going to hit my application key.
Applications, context menu, disable. Set as show disconnected, show disabled devices.
Yes.
And I'm going to enter on that.
Enter, leaving menus, list view, SBS slash PDIF dash in.
10 of 10.
And now I have 10 devices listed here instead of 8. Now, what I'll show you next is on XP and earlier, we're used to having a what you hear recording method or stereo mix or wave master, whatever it's called on any particular card. But what that allows us to do is to record from all the inputs on the sound card at once instead of just selecting, say, the mic or the wave or whatever. And that allows you to record, say, like when I'm doing tutorials here, I'm talking into the microphone, I'm, you know, moving around on the keyboard, so it's recording JAWS speaking, it's recording whatever's playing on the computer, it's recording the microphone, me talking into it, and it's all recorded at once. The way I'm doing this here on the Vista side, because I'm not able to still get this to work properly, is I have a USB microphone set up, and it's kind of halfway between me and the right speaker. So, you know, you can hear me talking, and you hear the JAWS speaking and whatever's on the computer running.
SB auxiliary. SB line dash in. SB microphone. RT stereo mix. RT stereo mix.
And my creative card does not have a what you hear capability or a stereo mix, but my Realtek high definition onboard does. So what you need to do to enable this is you go to it in your list.
RT stereo mix 6 of 10.
And yours will probably just say stereo mix. I've put the RT and the SB on here just so I know which particular device it is since I have both cards. But you'll hit your application key.
Applications, context menu, disable.
And mine's enabled, so it'll say disabled. But when you go to yours, it will say enable. So just hit enter on that. I'll show you here.
Enter, leaving menus, list view, not selected, USB microphone. USB microphone, RT microphone, RT line in, Realtek digital input, RT CD audio, RT stereo mix.
And we'll go back down to stereo mix. I'll hit my applications key.
Applications, context menu, enable, enable.
And it'll say enable. And this is what yours should say. So you would just hit enter on it.
Enter, leaving menus, list view, not selected, USB microphone.
6 of 10.
And then you can hopefully actually use it. The problem I'm having here is I can get the stereo mix to work, but what happens is when I have a microphone hooked up, I'm not getting that particular input picked up. So it's recording what JAWS is saying, but it's not recording what I'm saying. So it's kind of useless. And that kind of brings me to one of my complaints. And this is a Vista complaint. This has nothing to do with JAWS or anything. This is with Vista and the current state of sound drivers on Vista. And to those of you considering switching over from XP or whatever you're using, one of the things you're going to find out, and especially if you're into doing a lot of recording on the PC, depending on what sound card you have, what drivers you have, you're going to find out you're going to have an extremely difficult time doing this. As I've showed you, a lot of the devices are disabled by default, so you have to know how to go in and enable them. Even once you do, you know, on XP and 2000 and everything before it, you know, we had our mixer control, And on one side, we had all of our playback volumes, and we adjusted them, and then we just would go to properties and tell it to show the recording properties, and we'd go adjust all those and select our input source, and everything would be fine. But now in Vista, and I don't know whose bright idea this was, but it's really a nuisance, and everybody I've talked to that's really into any kind of recording on the PC pretty much has agreed with me that Vista limits you terribly. You have
Context menu, default R, leave in menus, S, N, D, V, O, L, enter, volume mixer dialog, RT speakers, device main volume up down slider 34%.
now here's the mixer in Vista, and this gives us our playback volume control adjustments.
Device main mute button, alt volume for gold wave up down slider 34%. Mute for gold wave button, volume for window sounds up down slider 34%.
And the one big difference is, as some of you know, that Vista allows us to independently adjust the volumes of each application we're running.
Mute for Windows Sounds button. Volume for application file for JAWS up down slider 34%.
But what you don't have here is the ability to, like we could in XP and earlier, go to properties and then say, okay, let's adjust recording. You don't have that ability here. There is no capability here to do that.
Alt F4, sound dialog, recording page, list view, not selected USB microphone.
1 of 10.
So what you have to do,
USB microphone 1 of 10. RT microphone. RT line in.
let's just say, I don't know, I want to record from my Realtek's line in.
Tab properties button.
Alt plus P.
So I'm going to have to go into properties.
Space RT line in properties dialog. General page, levels page, line in button.
And I'll control tab to my levels.
Tab line and balance button.
Alt plus B.
Tab OK button. Tab cancel button. Tab levels tab. Tab line and button.
And this says line in button, but it's really not a button, it's a group. So I don't know why JAWS pronounces it as a button, but
Tab, line and balance button.
Alt plus B.
I go to this line in balance button, and I hit my space bar on it.
Space, RT line and properties dialog. Z page, balance dialog. OK button.
Alt plus O.
OK button. Tab, L left right slider 22%. Tab, R left right slider 22%.
And I can adjust the levels here. And you have a left and a right volume that you adjust independently.
Tab, OK button.
Alt plus O.
Then I go to OK.
Space, sound dialog, enhancements page, description, colon, setting, colon, provider, colon, list view.
0 items.
Blank. Tab, OK button. Tab, cancel button. Tab, enhancements tab. Tab, disable all sound effects checkbox not checked.
And we'll have some other settings here depending on your card.
Tab, immediate mode checkbox not checked. Tab, list view.
0 items.
So. And you have to do this for each.
Escape properties button.
Alt plus P.
List view, RT line in, Realtek Digital in, RT CD audio, RT stereo mix.
So you have to do this for every one of these. You have to set the volume levels, and they're all scattered around.
Enter control panel, folder view, list view, sound.
3449.
And it just makes it very, very difficult to figure out what you're doing, at least in my opinion. Okay, so that is a basic description on how you would enable some of your disabled audio devices and a little bit about how you adjust volumes with them. One thing I would like to show you as well, since I'm over here on the Vista side and people seem to be having troubles with it, I have seemed, I don't know, I've been able to get it to work here, so I'm going to try to describe how to do it. And that is the sidebar and the weather gadget. By default, when you set it up, it's set up for Redmond, Washington, which is where Microsoft is, of course. And it is somewhat difficult to change with the JAWS and Window Eyes, so I'm going to show you how I've done it here. So if I press Windows G,
Windows G, Windows sidebar, clock.
it's going to cycle me through my gadgets that I've got set up.
Windows G, weather.
And there's weather. So if I tab into it.
Tab, weather, mostly cloudy, graphic.
No winds.
Weather 30 degrees, Akron. Oh, graphic, mostly cloudy, graphic, mostly cloudy.
And there it says it's 30 degrees here. It's mostly cloudy.
Tab
back out.
Window sidebar, weather.
And to adjust the properties of this gadget, I hit my applications key.
Applications, context menu, add gadgets, dot, dot, dot.
A.
Add gadgets, dot, dot, dot.
A.
Close gadgets, options.
Oh.
And I go into options.
Enter, leaving menus. Edit search for location on mouse over. Tab, domicile search button, left parent, right parent link. Tab, Fahrenheit radio button checked.
One of two.
And I'm tabbing around this options dialog.
Tab, weather, okay button. Tab, cancel button. Tab, Fahrenheit radio button checked.
One of two.
Tab, Akron, Ohio edit. Search for location on mouse over. Edit search for location on mouse over.
Okay, I'm going to try and change this. Let's see if I can change it to something else. I'm going to go into forms mode.
Space, forms mode on.
And I don't know, I'm just going to type in a zip code. Oh, I don't know. Oh, heck, I don't know.
90210.
And that's an LA zip code.
Tab, domicile search button, left parent, right parent link.
And I believe I check this.
Space. Forms mode off. Virtual PC.
Forms mode.
Edit 90,210 on mouse over. Tab. Tab. Fahrenheit radio button checked.
One of
tab. Weather. Okay button. Tab. Cancel button. Tab. Fahrenheit radio button checked.
One of
tab. Akron, Ohio edit. 90,210 on mouse over. Space. Forms mode 9999021 0 blank blank. 012Z999. Tab. Domicile search button. Left parent. Right parent link. Shift tab, Akron, Ohio edit, 90,210.
Let's see.
Tab, domicile search, tab, Fahrenheit, tab, weather, OK button.
See what happens when I go to OK.
Space. No window is active.
And I'll do a Windows G.
Windows G, Windows sidebar, CPU meter, Windows G, clock, Windows G, weather. Tab, forms mode off, weather, mostly cloudy, graphic. Graphic, mostly cloudy. Blank, graphic mostly cloudy, blank, graphic mostly cloudy, graphic mostly cloudy, weather, blank, 30 degrees, blank, Akron, O.
And apparently it still has Akron.
Tab, window sidebar, application, close options,
O.
Enter,
leaving
menu,
options
weather.
Again.
Tab, domicile search button, left parent, right parent link. Shift tab, Akron, Ohio edit, on mouse over. Space, forms mode on. Blank, space, space. Space.
Try and clear this all out.
Akron, Ohio edit. Home, home. Space. Akron, Ohio edit.
Let's see. 90210.
Tab, domicile search button, left parent, right parent link. Tab, Fahrenheit radio. Tab, weather, okay button. Tab, cancel button. Tab, Fahrenheit. Tab, Akron, Ohio edit. 90,210. Tab, domicile search space. Domicile search button, left parent, right parent, forms mode off, for link domicile search plus space. Edit search for location on mouse over. Visited link domicile search plus edit search for location on mouse over. Blank, Beverly Hills, California. Blank, Beverly Hills, California.
Okay, so this time, apparently it took it.
Blank, current location, colon. Blank, Beverly Hills, California. Blank, edit search for locate tab. Visited link domicile search tab, Fahrenheit tab, weather, O tab, cancel button. Shift tab, OK space.
And a Windows G again here.
Windows G, Windows sidebar, CPU, Windows G, clock, Windows G, weather. Tab, weather. Beverly Hills, ca. Weather. Blank, 60 degrees. Blank, Beverly Hills, ca. Blank, graphic clear.
And it took it. So let's go back and change it back to Akron.
Tab, Windows sidebar, weather. Application, close gadget, options,
oh.
Enter, leaving menus,
one link,
link domicile search button, left pair, shift tab, weather, cancel button, tab, Fahrenheit radio, tab, Fahrenheit, tab, weather, okay button, tab, cancel button, tab, Fahrenheit radio, tab, Beverly Hills, California, edit, search for location on mouse over, space,
go back
forms
into
mode
forms
on.
Mode, and I'll type my zip code now,
44306.
And I'll get out of forms mode.
Forms mode off. Virtual P tab. Domicile search button. Left parent. Right parent link.
And I'll click on this search button.
Space. Edit search for location on mouse over. Blank. Akron, Ohio. Blank. Current location colon. Blank. Akron, Ohio.
So it looks like the trick to this is go to the edit. Get into forms mode. type in your zip code, get out of forms mode, go to the search link, hit space on it, arrow around, make sure that it says what you want it to say.
Tab, Akron, Ohio, tab, Damasu, tab, Fahrenheit, tab, weather, okay, tab, cancel button, shift, tab, okay, space.
And go to OK. Windows G.
Windows G, Windows sidebar, CPU meter, Windows G, clock, Windows G, weather. Tab, weather,
tab
mostly
into
cloudy
it.
Graphic. Blank, graphic mostly cloudy, blank, Akron, O, blank, 30 degrees, blank, Akron, O.
And it's back to Akron. One thing you need to make sure that you don't do is when you're in the sidebar, don't Alt F4 out of these as it will close the gadget, and then the gadget will be out of the sidebar. Just basically, if you need to get out of the sidebar, just do a Windows M.
Windows M, desktop, home.
You're back to the desktop. You can do a Windows space.
Windows space, Windows sidebar, view available gadgets button.
Which will take you into the sidebar.
Context menu, default programs, leaving menus, oops. View available gadgets button. Escape.
Or to cycle through what gadgets you have set up, you can just do a Windows G.
Windows G, CPU meter. Windows G, clock. Windows G, weather. Windows G, CPU meter.
And it's pretty much just that easy. So hopefully that'll help some people that are having some trouble setting up the weather gadget. I've had troubles with it, and it tends to be a pain in the butt. But once you understand how to do it, it's not too hard. And hopefully this has been helpful.
Windows M, desktop, folder.
Okay, that pretty much wraps up what I want to show you on the Vista side. So now I'm going to go back over to the XP side and wrap up. Okay, I'm now back on the XP side. And just have a few more comments and then we'll wrap up this podcast. I was listening to something really interesting last night. I was listening to a podcast from Leo Laporte and Steve Gibson on the Security Now podcast that's done. It was the number 119. It was talking about third-party cookies. And it was really interesting. I learned quite a few new things from it. What they were talking about, and this is really disturbing, and I hope this gets resolved soon, because I know, like myself and probably like a lot of you out there, you don't like your information, your browsing habits and stuff being tracked. And as a lot of you know, third-party cookies are responsible for this. You know, not all cookies are bad, but some are, and a lot of us like to disable the tracking cookies. Well, what has been found out, and this is, you know, can be very, very damaging, maybe. Definitely a lot of people aren't going to like it, but one of the biggest places around on the internet, PayPal, and, you know, a lot of us do business with PayPal. I take my donations from my website via PayPal. I take most of my payments I get through training through PayPal. You know, I buy stuff through PayPal from time to time. So, you know, I use PayPal pretty heavily anymore. And a lot of you do out there as well. Well, what somebody has found out is a lot of PayPal's links now are routing you first through DoubleClick. And DoubleClick is one of the largest ad-based sites on the web. You know, they're responsible for a lot of the ads you see on pages. And they use tracking cookies, third-party tracking cookies, to track your usage on the web. And it was a very, very interesting podcast. I suggest everybody listen to that. And it'll do a much better job of explaining this than I can. But what is going on is a lot of the things, like when you go into PayPal, it'll ask you, you know, try our new virtual debit card, or, you know, try this or try that. And what somebody has found out is what happens, and to get around the third-party cookie disabling, what has happened is when you click on that particular ad on PayPal, if you look at the URL that it's going to, it'll say something like ads.doubleclick.net, you know, slash blah, 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 blah. And then it'll have a question mark, and it'll say something like https://paypal.com, blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently what is going on is, since people disable the third-party cookies, PayPal is intentionally setting up what is called a first-party cookie, and it's what we all accept on a day-to-day basis. It allows us to do things like have PayPal in places, remember our logins and who we are, you know, when we're traveling around on the sites, and, you know, we pretty much have to you know, use those because they're necessary. They're good cookies, you know, versus the third-party cookies that can be, you know, kind of bad cookies. But what they're doing is, and you don't even know it, is when you click on that virtual card ad, is it takes you first to DoubleClick, and then DoubleClick immediately sends you back to PayPal. And normally you would never know that you went away from PayPal. But apparently what is happening is, you know, you go to the DoubleClick, and what you can do in a URL is you can pass information. The first part of the URL has the website, like www.paypal.com. And then what people have done to pass information along is, after that, you can put like a question mark. And a question mark means, okay, stop here. This is the end of the URL. Everything else after this is information that we're transferring back to the website in question. So what PayPal and DoubleClick are doing here in order to track you and your browsing habits and buying habits is that PayPal is setting up special URLs that it passes along to DoubleClick to identify you, and then DoubleClick gives you a first party cookie, which is normal, which is what we take every day, a good cookie, supposedly. And then it immediately passes you back to PayPal. And this gets around this third-party cookie disabling that everybody does. And now DoubleClick once again can track your browsing habits, you know, unless you're, you know, going in all the time and cleaning out your cookies. And, you know, like Steve Gibson was saying, you know, this really could be a bad thing, because, you know, why is PayPal, you know, sharing any of our information, you know, with DoubleClick? You know, what is their dealings with each other? And, you know, it was kind of disturbing to me. And, you know, like Steve and Leo said, you know, hey, we all have to deal with PayPal. You know, there's no real competition to PayPal out there. So hopefully, you know, PayPal will tell us what they're doing. And because otherwise, you know, it kind of sounds like, you know, we're really being snooped on big time. And it's, you know, almost like PayPal doesn't care. And they're just you know, blatantly doing this. And, you know, just to me, it just seems pretty crazy. But it was a really interesting podcast to listen to. So just thought I'd talk about that for a few minutes. And that's about it. That's all I have for you today. Just wanted to catch up with you. Hopefully I can do a podcast in a week or two instead of a month. I really do apologize for that. And, you know, work's been keeping me busy, so, you know, unfortunately, it's, you know, not allowing me to do as much here as I want to, but did want to catch up with all of you, and hope you've enjoyed this, and I'll talk to you next time. Here's my contact information. My website is the Blind Geek Zone. The address is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. That's R-H-A-R-M-O-N 928. 928. My MSN contact information is rharmon928@hotmail.com. My email address is rharmon, that's R-H-A-R-M-O-N, at blind-geek-zone.net. If you have any questions or comments on any of the audio recordings I've done, any of the podcasts, tutorials, or demos, please feel free to contact me. If you're in need of training or technical support or website development assistance, please feel free to contact me. If you have any other comments or suggestions, please feel free to contact me.